The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
This morning we'll consider the Word of God in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, a portion of our epistle lesson for today. Reading in chapter 5, beginning with the first verse as follows. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Here ends our text. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose walk we follow in this life, dear fellow redeemed, there are some people who can't hide what they do for a living because you can see it in the way they walk. Sailors are a good example. Years ago, they say you could always tell an old salt as he walked down the street from his rolling gait, exactly as if he were still trying to balance on the pitching deck of a ship. Cowboys are another example. Tradition says that a man who makes his living on the back of a horse, whenever he gets down, is going to walk bow-legged. While modern ranch hands seem to spend a lot less time on horseback these days, but you still see one every once in a while. I recall in my old hometown of White River, South Dakota, once in a while you'd see one of these older fellows with a big straw hat and a big silver buckle moseying down the street, kind of on the outside edges of his boots, walking a little bow-legged. You knew without even asking him that he was a cowboy. It was that revealing walk that settled it. You should be able to tell a Christian, too, by the way he or she walks. Obviously not from the person's physical gait as they walk down the street, but by that person's walk in life, his or her behavior, how they speak and how they conduct themselves. The Apostle Peter describes Christians as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. God wants his believers to stand out from the crowd. He wants us and intends us to be a peculiar people, that is, a special people. The problem we have, by nature, of course, is that we don't want to stand out. We'd much rather blend in with the crowd and not stick out at all. In our text for today, God's asking us to do a hard thing. He's calling upon us to publicly identify ourselves as Christians. That's why the theme of our sermon this morning is the revealing walk of a Christian. He walks in the love of Christ. He walks away from sin, and he walks as a child of light. If you spend much time reading the letters of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, you'll notice an interesting thing. It seems like he's always talking about a Christian's walk. Seems like one of Paul's favorite subjects. And that's a bit confusing at first until you understand what he means by the word walk. Obviously, he couldn't be talking about the physical way a Christian walks. Many of the most devout Christians that you'll find don't walk at all. Those who have become bedridden because of illness or who are confined to a wheelchair. No, the word Paul uses for walk in the original language means to behave or to conduct one's life. It's a general term that describes the way you live and speak and your actions, your conduct every day of the week. Paul says that a Christian's walk in life should clearly reveal him to be a child of God. According to Paul, if you're a believer in Christ, the people around you should be able to tell it a mile away. For one thing, Paul says, a Christian always walks in the love of Christ. Love, of course, is a universal experience. Everybody has a pretty good idea of what love is. Children love their parents and vice versa. Spouse, husband or wife, they love each other. Pastor loves the members of his congregation and vice versa. But how can you tell when someone truly loves someone else? Obviously, you can't look into their heart and see the feeling there. You can listen to their words, but words sometimes are deceptive. The best way to tell is not by what they say, but by what they do. The actions of Christ, what he did for us, are proof positive of his love for us. Our text says, "Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." The Apostle Paul urges the Christians in Ephesus to walk in love, and the best example he can possibly come up with, of course, is the example of our Lord Jesus and Jesus' love for sinners. Christ's love for you and me was obviously no superficial feeling. His love for us was deep and active and committed. Jesus knew full well that left to ourselves, you and I would go blithely on cruising down the broad and easy pathway toward hell with no repentance for our sins and perhaps no wish to even repent. So Jesus' love drove him into action. He brought the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. He poured out his own precious blood on Calvary's cross. The suffering and death of the God-man was the only thing precious enough to pay the price for our sins, and so Jesus paid it. Surely that has to be the most active love, the most clearly demonstrated love in the history of the world. And that's why the walk of a Christian is also so revealing, because Paul says it reflects the same sort of active, doing love that Jesus had toward us. When God tells us to love our neighbor, he's telling us to act with love toward our neighbor. We may not always feel love toward our neighbor. That's not the important thing. Let's face it, some of the members of our own family sometimes get on our nerves, but that doesn't mean we don't love them. Love is primarily what you do, not what you feel. Jesus says that walking in love means even acting in love toward the people who are your enemies, the people who have nothing but bitter hatred for you. I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And when you stop and think about it, that's just what Jesus did for you and me, isn't it? Because by nature, we weren't his friends, we weren't his followers when we were born. By nature, we were his enemies. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And yet, Christ loved us. Our faith in him will inspire us to love others and to do good to all, even those who are our enemies. And that's the kind of a walk that really stands out and really gets other people's attention. Another way you can tell a Christian, Paul says, is because he walks away from sin. Paul paints a picture of the sinful world of his day that sounds alarmingly similar to the world that we see around us in 2015. Paul says, "But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." There were those in Paul's day whose walk in life was just the opposite of what you would expect a Christian's walk to be. These were the people for whom sexual immorality was a way of life, for whom filthy talk and coarse jokes were their daily routine. Paul told the Ephesian Christians in the strongest terms that these things shouldn't even be mentioned among them, much less practiced by people who claim to be Christians. His remarks strike home with us, too, don't they? God wants our walk in life to reflect our Christian faith and to be away from the sinful practices of the people around us in the world. And here's one spot where you better not be afraid of sticking out, because if you walk the path of the Christian, you definitely will stick out. These are things that our world around us takes for granted, and examples abound. Our society, for instance, scoffs at God's original plan for human sexuality, that it should always be a part of a Christian marriage. In today's hookup culture, sex is so casual that it very seldom is even part of a relationship, much less a marriage. One writer wondered what to make of today's generation in which losing your cell phone is a more significant event than losing your virginity. Young couples are increasingly avoiding marriage. Why bother, they reason, when it's so much easier simply to live together. On other fronts, gay rights groups boldly demand that the definition of marriage, as old as the earth itself, be changed to accommodate their perverse lifestyle, and our United States Supreme Court agrees with them. Planned Parenthood clinics across the nation use our tax dollars to murder unwanted children and then subsequently sell the body parts. Filth overflows the airwaves and the internet. We hear the rankest profanity on the job and in the street. And all the while, since our society is telling us, come on, get with the times. Come and walk along with us. It'll be a lot more fun. You don't want to let some obsolete old religion hold you back, do you? Be sophisticated. Be up to date. Get into the 21st century. It's easy and it's fun. Soon we may feel ourselves being tugged along with these trends, conforming ourselves to the wicked ways of the world rather than having our minds conform to Christ. Modifying our beliefs and behavior to match theirs, soon we may not even notice so much anymore who's going to bed with whom. We may find the filthy language and the coarse jokes creeping into our own conversation. Paul snaps us back to reality. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. There is a reckoning coming. If not today, if not tomorrow, then certainly on the day of judgment. Be not deceived, Scripture says. God is not mocked. I've said before, Christians are square pegs in a world of round holes, and the world is going to pound you and pound you and pound you, trying to get you to fit in to their sinful lifestyle, but don't let them do it. If you're a Christian, then stand up and be counted as one. Don't be afraid to show the unbelievers that your lifestyle does not fit in with theirs, and that you don't want it to. Remember, we are a peculiar people. God intended us Christians to stand out and to stand as an example and a witness against ungodliness and a witness for the wonderful good news of the gospel. Paul advised the Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One way to prove it, one way to demonstrate to other people that God's will is better, is by walking as a Christian and walking away from sin. One final revealing thing Paul says about Christians is that they walk as children of light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. All the Ephesian Christians had something in common. They all came to faith as grown-ups. They were adults when they were converted to Christianity. So they had something to compare with their walk as Christians. They could easily recall a time before their conversion when they lived in the darkness and ignorance of unbelief. It was as different as comparing midnight and noon to them. All the sin, the despair, the black guilt of their consciences had been replaced by the bright love of God, by forgiveness and by peace. And they could feel that and remember that. What a beautiful picture. It must have been like waking from a terrible nightmare and finding it's a beautiful, new, fresh, sunshiny morning. Well, unlike those Ephesian Christians, many of us here this morning can't remember what it was like to be an unbeliever because we were baptized maybe as infants and perhaps were raised in Christian homes and never remember a time when we didn't know our Savior Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that we don't know what the darkness is like. We all have our sinful flesh. We all have fallen to the temptations of the devil, the world, and our flesh. We know what the nightmare and the darkness is like because we've felt it weighing down on our conscience, and we've felt the prick of God's law as it stings us and brings us to a realization of our sin. And yet, in the book of Lamentations, the Bible says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So we know the nightmare, but we also know what it's like to find pardon and peace in Christ and to wake up fresh and realize that God's mercies are new every morning and realize that we do have pardon and peace through him and that today is a new day and we're headed toward the eternal day of heaven. We are just as much children of light as those Ephesians Paul was writing to. And God wants us to act that way and to walk as children of light. A college girl once came to her pastor deeply disturbed. She was upset because of all the immorality and godlessness that she saw around her at the public university that she attended. Well, the pastor told her, "Christians are supposed to be lights." "Yes, I know," she said, "but I don't see..." "Where do you put a light?" he asked her. Understanding began to dawn in her eyes, and she said, "In a dark place." Of course, the pastor was just rephrasing what Christ himself said about his believers. "You are the light of the world. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus has brought you and me into the light. We are now home free in the very best sense of that phrase. We have been freed from the eternal consequences of our own sin, and through Jesus Christ, we are on our way home to heaven. Through him, we truly are God's own children. Let's not be afraid to show that in our everyday life, in the way we walk, in the way we behave and conduct ourselves. It's not easy to stand out. Your walk may be difficult for a time, but it won't be forever. Your reward, on the other hand, will last forever. For Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." So take Paul's advice. Walk in the love of Christ. And as much as in you lies, walk away from sin and walk as a child of light. You never know who may be watching. I pray that someone close to you may soon be saying of you, "I know that person is a Christian. You can tell it by the way he walks." Amen. Please rise.